Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Rivian Tracker Hangouts. I'm Jose, your host. Today, I got a special guest with me, Christian Selig. And you probably may or may not know that name. That's okay if you don't. But Christian was actually someone who, he's an iOS developer, right? He's been developing apps for a while now. And one of my favorite apps that is no longer, unfortunately, around, and we'll talk a little bit about that later in the episode, was Apollo for Reddit. And that was an app that was pretty much a third-party app that let you surf Reddit. And Christian did an amazing job. I used that app way long ago for all my Reddit usage. But anyways, Christian has been following Rivian Tracker for a while. And him being a fan of mine and I'm being a fan of his, I was like, hey, let's have him on and talk about his recent acquisition. Wow, that words are hard, you guys. He recently got a Rivian R1S, and you may be wondering, well, that's not very special, Jose. Well, it is, because Christian lives in Nova Scotia, Canada, where Rivian is currently not delivering Rivian vehicles to. But Christian found some magic and some loopholes and ways to get around the system and get himself an R1S. And so I want to talk about his experience with that thus far, and then, you know, kind of his EV journey and all that. And we'll talk about some other fun tech stuff. So join me as I talk with Christian here on Rivian Tracker Hangouts. Christian, how are you?
Great, thanks. Honored to be here. Very excited.
Nah, thanks for having me. I know as soon as I reached out and said, hey, you want to be on here? Like, yeah, I'm honored. Like, I'm like, please, the honor's mine. I'm like,
but
we'll honor each other.
Yeah, and I feel like I should get out ahead of the accusations. I did steal the Rivian, as you mentioned. But no, I'm just kidding.
Words are hard, I told you.
Yeah.
Well, Christian, so let's start with your EV journey. So before we get into Rivian, you owned an EV beforehand. Talk to me a little bit about what you owned and how long you had it prior, you know, previous to the Rivian, and kind of your journey into what got you into wanting to get an EV and all that.
That's a great question. I've been an EV owner since 2018. So I actually have to, like, going back to think, why did I want it in the first place is a great question. I think, unsurprisingly, I really like technology. I had a gas car before that. I really did not like a lot of the aspects of owning a gas vehicle, especially here in Canada, Eastern Canada. It gets very cold in the winter. And I'm a bit of a baby, and going out and pumping gas and picking up this cold metal thing when it's like, 0 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that. And just having to stand there, and not being smart enough to remember gloves. I hated that. I always forgot to fill up gas, which is hilarious because everybody's like, oh, I'm going to run out of range in an EV. I was the opposite. I didn't actually run out of gas, but like all the time I'd be like, oh, I got to go to a doctor's appointment. Oh my God, there's no gas in the tank. And then anyway, didn't love all that. EVs were starting to become a proper thing. And I think I was like, yeah, technology, I like this. Don't love gas vehicles right now. I'm all for this. And I work from home. So like if there was any range anxiety, I wasn't super concerned that I'd be doing like a 500-mile commute every day. So it sounded like a good opportunity to take the plunge. And I did. And I've genuinely like never looked back. It's been phenomenal. It hasn't been always easy being out here kind of in a more remote area versus like California or like Texas or New York or even Toronto in Canada. But it's been a lot of fun.
That's really awesome. Yeah. And like you, you know, I've owned a couple of EVs, right? My first EV was a Bolt EV.
Nice.
You know, Chevy Bolt back in 2017. It was around the same time the Model 3 came out or just right before. But the thing is, I didn't want a sedan, right? I wanted kind of like, I like the Bolt because of a hatchback. And I've always been a truck person or big cars, right? You know, us Americans, we like our big cars.
I hear you.
So I started my journey with a Bolt EV, and then I got a Model Y, right? And Model Y came out, got a Model Y. Loved it because it was pretty much a Model 3, but bigger, right?
And that's like 2021 or so, I assume?
Yeah, actually, it was 2020. It was actually summer 2020, prime COVID season. My wife and I are sitting at the couch, and we're like, you know, let's just do it. Let's just get it. You know, it was technically her car that I kind of end up stealing. Speaking of accusations, she'll accuse me every day for that.
That's fair.
She's like, I don't know. This was your car, or this was her car. She's like, I don't know how it became yours. But anyways, so like you, you know, I kind of did that, and at the time I didn't work from home, but similar to your journey, started with, you know, a car, and like you, I'm a tech guy, right? Huge techie. Developer as well, right? Software developer and all that. So like to me, I just wanted a computer on wheels, and that's really what it was.
Yeah, amen. No, that's phenomenal. Yeah, I think I forgot to mention, but yeah, my first was a Model 3. Without getting into the fun stuff of 2025, it's been a phenomenal car.
We'll get
standpoint.
Into that. We'll
okay,
talk
okay.
About
I wasn't sure
it.
What kind of podcast this is.
No. I mean, it's only fair to talk about what's happening, right? And I think it's you know, everybody has a different perspective and opinion. We'll talk about that. So let's fast forward. You pre-ordered a Rivian, right?
Yeah. I wasn't like one of the lucky, what was it, 2017 or whatever, when people ordered them for like $5,000 or whatever it was. I think it was like October 2023. I was pretty late in the game comparatively. I put in the pre-order and I was like, it's going to be any week now. And then it took a little bit more than a few weeks, but I got there.
So you got that pre-order pricing, which was really nice. Right.
Oh, no. To be clear, I didn't get like the hardcore pre-order pricing. I got like,
no,
the,
okay.
It would have, yeah. No, I wish. But no, I didn't have anything that fancy.
Oh, okay. But you did put money down. And I know that for a while, you know, I can't remember exactly when it was. It was probably maybe last year. Yes, it was in 2024. Rivian at some point, you know, had a hard cutoff that if you hadn't used your pre-order deposit or just, you know, pricing, you were either use it or lose it. Right. But you're in a unique situation because you don't live in the United States and you don't live in a part of Canada that actively sells Rivian vehicles. So you were in a unique position where Rivian just kind of kept telling you, don't worry, we're going to extend it. We'll extend it. And like, just keep on extending it because, I mean, what other choice do they have? Refund your money? I mean, like, what do you do?
Right. Exactly.
But Rivian is still not selling vehicles in Nova Scotia, right?
That's a great question. I think it's kind of murky where if you ask the right way. Understanding was the right people talk to the right people, and now they're like looking to like officially properly open non-service center province deliveries, provided you're cool with what that probably means for you. Where historically they've kind of, it's been a hard no. Now it's kind of like a yes if you know what you're getting into.
Right.
And from what I understand, like talking on a few phone calls, that's like a somewhat official thing. They're like kind of piloting, okay, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. So you are now the proud owner of a Rivian R1S.
Yes. Very proud.
And I have here, I'm going to share in the screen. So if you're watching on the video, you can see it here. It looks like you got yourself a forest green R1S dual standard.
No, dual max. In Canada, max. Cold weather. I had to go all out.
Beautiful. So the big battery. So you have a max pack just like I do.
Yeah.
22 inch sports brights.
Yes.
And what interior did you go with?
Whatever was cheapest. So I think it was the
Black Mountain.
Black Mountain. Yeah. And honestly, like one of those things where I was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. Like I wasn't super stoked about it because I just didn't want to spend any more money. But getting it, I was like, this is pretty sharp. I actually really like it.
You said bye to Tesla after 7 years. You got yourself an R1S. You're probably one of the first few people in Nova Scotia with a Rivian. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, to my knowledge, I think I was saying earlier that off camera, but I think there's four in the province officially right now. And two of them were like, I would call it cheating. They bought it in the US and imported it used. Which I would have done if I could figure that out, but I just went the more official route. So I think I'm second place in terms of deliveries in like a proper Rivian sanctioned delivery. And I would have been first if I booked out the delivery appointment a little too far out. So I got beat to the punch by a very nice guy. But so I think I'm two.
Do you feel comfortable sharing a little bit about how you managed to get yourself a Rivian? Yeah. And you know, you're welcome to share as much or as little as you like, but I'm curious, you know, how did this happen? Like, I know personally, like you and I have spoken a few times, you know, throughout last couple of years. you know, about how can, you know, we do this for you, or like, you know, how can we get you a Rivian, or like if there's any insight, right? And unfortunately, you know, the reality is like my insight is, you know, I know as much as I can, but like there's just data and information we don't know. And like, it's like when somebody asks me, oh, when is a new leasing state going to be available? It's like, I don't even think people inside Rivian know, right? Like, honestly, let alone when a new province or a new country is going to get a vehicle, right? So I'm very curious, and I'm sure the audience is curious, like, how can they who live in Nova Scotia also get a Rivian? Or how did you do that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the long and the short of it is I think you can probably, like, email Rivian Canada, and if you're in any... Like, not only Nova Scotia, I think if you're like in, I don't think Manitoba is a proper delivery province, like PEI, Nova Scotia, maybe even Newfoundland. I think for all of those, if you're, depending on how you look at it, if you're brave or stupid enough, you can take delivery in those, I believe, if you just email Rivian now. Tell them Christian sent you, so I can get some. There's no referral points in Canada, but maybe they'll send me like a cup.
Oh, I was going to say, there's no referral points? Oh.
Nope. I would love a nice mug though, Rivian, if you're listening. But yeah, no. So
we
I guess
we can hook you up. We'll get you.
Yeah,
we'll
yeah. Fair enough. No. Honestly, they've been so good to me that it would be greedy to ask for more. But that was the short story. I guess the long story was like you put very politely. Every time there'd be Rivian news, I would reply to your tweets with like an eye roll and a must be nice kind of thing. And then there was, I think, one tweet where you mentioned like prices in Canada were going up a fair bit because, I mean, understandably, our dollar went down a bunch. Rivian's an American company. They need to recoup those costs. And I was kind of like, oh, man, like, am I going to like, in addition to having to wait this long, am I also going to have to pay more? And I think I texted Chad Moran, and I was like, oh, like, this is brutal. Like, I wonder if there's any way I can at least get like the... keep the old pricing. And he was like, okay, let me see what I can do. And he poked Wasim. I'm 90% sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. Ooh, we got a cat coming. Ruby.
Cats are always welcome on the show. And yes, okay. Wasim, who is a good friend of mine. And I mean, he's a generally awesome guy. He runs, those who don't know who Wasim is at this point in time, but he's the chief software officer at Rivian, and he wears many hats, honestly. So he's a great man.
No, and yeah, super, super nice guy. And Ruby, stop hitting the camera.
We're having an earthquake, or is the cat checking? No.
She hates when, see, now she won't even show. Oh, there's a tail. See, I'm not making it up.
I see a tail.
She hates when I'm like in a meeting or talking to anyone and not giving her the proper attention.
Of course.
But okay, she lied down. So long story short, I get an email from Wasim, and he's like, okay, we're gonna make this happen. Let's figure it out. And he CC'd a very nice guy named Gary, who to my knowledge is head of sales at Rivian.
Gary Gaines, great guy.
Yeah, super nice guy. Like, I got to talk on the phone with him, and just like, I don't know, in my head, I'm like, these are like executives of a very fancy car company, and I'm expecting them to be like, I don't know, like, they're just so down to earth is another
they
way
are.
To put it.
Like everybody at Rivian really is. Like, truthfully, like, I've had the privilege of meeting RJ, and even RJ is like really like, he's like, I know you. You're Rivian, you're Jose, you do Rivian Tracker, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, that's all. Like, you, like,
that's incredible.
Just everybody is so nice and down to earth compared to like other corporations that I've
And so that was really nice. And then he CC'd in I think like the Canadian equivalent of Gary, which is Saranj, and then basically they got the ball rolling. And then I was talking to another kind individual named Raheem, and we canceled my old order, put in a new order. I assume it did something special with their system internally or something, but they were basically able to say, okay, now we'll produce this vehicle, and we'll keep you posted with the process of that, and then we'll work out how to get it to you, but we're gonna make it happen. And then
were you able to pick out exactly what you wanted?
Yeah, they offered me the option of like going through the shop or just going through the configurator, and I was
for those who are not watching a video, there's a cat just walking back
attacking.
And tumbling the camera.
Sorry, what was the question? What configuration? Yeah, I was able to. Oh my gosh, one sec. I'm just gonna put her in a different room.
Christian has now walked away and is putting the cat in a different room. Totally keeping this in the episode. Cats are always welcome. I you know, as someone who owns cats as well, I love them. They're family, but they always know when to be annoying at the right time.
Yeah, you know, they're very welcome, except when they start like headbutting the camera like repeatedly, and then they can be welcome in like a few minutes. But yeah, so I got the perfect configuration I wanted. It was terrific. They honored the old pricing. Trying to think, no, they even threw in some like all weather floor mats for free, which is very nice. And since I
when
was
you sorry to interrupt, when you say old pricing, do you mean like before they raised it in Canada?
Yeah, sorry, the Canadian pricing. Okay. So I think it saved me something like $7,000, which was
that's awesome. You know,
yeah, very awesome. And since I had the order from like ages ago, and it was basically like just waiting there ready to be fulfilled, they were also like, oh, we'll throw in the NAX adapter too, which was nice. Trying to think what else. Yeah, so I basically got the perfect configuration I wanted. It was built very quickly. And then yeah, the only funny thing was, I think it was like a Monday, and they were like, they were basically mentioning like, we're probably not going to be able to deliver it to Nova Scotia for whatever reason. I think there was something with tax above my pay grade, but they were like, maybe we'll be able to bring it to Montreal, which is a bit closer, and there's a service center there. And then they were like, nope, actually, we got to go to Toronto, which is like another few hours from Montreal. So it's like about a 20-hour drive. They were like, yeah, yeah. So they're like, we're going to need you to come to Toronto. And the funny thing is, they hinted at that, but then they were like, okay, car's ready, can you come pick it up Monday? And it was like 7 days before that. And I was like, whoa, no, I need like a few days to kind of like shuffle some things around and get plane tickets. But after that, yeah, I was able to fly out. And it was like we're doing this on a Tuesday, so it would have been 8 days ago that I picked it up. So yeah, and it's been a dream since. But it's definitely a bit of a journey getting there and getting back.
Yeah, definitely not an easy one, but you managed it. So you had to fly out of Toronto, go pick it up, and then you drove back, I imagine, home.
Yeah, exactly. So it was thankfully like the for whatever reason, the flights there were very cheap. And then we kind of just took our time. I brought my girlfriend with me to pick it up. Yeah. And we just took our time, like coming back. We spent like 2 days in Toronto and 2 days in Montreal. And then we camped for a night in New Brunswick, and then we were back by like the fifth day. So I'm not one for like just doing like a cannonball run, as fast as possible. And because I get so, yeah, I just hate sitting in a car that long. But I can do like 6 hours a day pretty comfortably. So we did that. And yeah, no, and it was super easy. It was super great. Had some great food. It was, oh my God, she escaped.
The cat has back.
The cat.
Now your girlfriend. Watching.
Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, there's no prisoners here other than a cat carefully put in a different room.
So how is talk to me a little bit about the experience in Canada when it comes to charging, like driving from Toronto back to Nova Scotia. Was that charging experience good, bad, you know? Could have been better, terrible.
That's a great question. I could talk about this alone for like 20 minutes. Like, it's been a very interesting experience. Like I said, I've had the Tesla since like 2018, so I've kind of seen the full spectrum of kind of like charging rollout here, for lack of a better term. And it was very, very rough at the beginning. Like, my friends and I, we took a very ambitious road trip to Virginia from Nova Scotia, which was like quite a long drive.
Yeah. Wow.
Like in 2019, when there was like one charger or something in the province. So I remember like sitting at like a level 2, like 7-kilowatt restaurant for like 6 hours trying to charge up. And it's gotten a lot better since then. I think like a year or two after that, like Nova Scotia was very proud that they added 50-kilowatt chargers, which people were kind of like, okay. I mean, not bad, but 50 kilowatts is like, you know, nothing groundbreaking. We're at like 350.
I mean, you could charge all those bolts.
True. But it was like, this was like 2 years after Model 3s were starting to become a thing. And like the province is like patting themselves on the back for doing like, anyway. That came to be, which was nice. And then third parties, like we have Electrify Canada, and we have like some of the gas station brands are adding a few. So there's more cropping up. Tesla is still kind of like king of the hill in that area. They have a few sprinkled very conveniently. But the downside of that is they were all installed in like 2019. So they're all like the V1.
The or V2 or V.
Yeah. They're like the 150 kilowatt ones.
So you can't use them. Yeah,
exactly. So that's yeah, so, but there's a few more popping up that I was able to use, like one or two on the way home that were V3 and Rivian compatible, which were nice. But yeah, no, it's the charging wise. I didn't, like, since we were going a little slower, a lot of the time, like, Montreal has like incredible EV infrastructure in terms of like every, like, I don't know, like 100 feet, there's like an EV charger on the street. That's like, oh, that's super awesome. Cheap. Yeah. So like, while we were just doing like touristy stuff, like grabbing lunch or whatever, or just like parked outside the hotel overnight, we would just leave the car charging. So like, we basically didn't think about charging until like the third day of the trip when we started like doing some serious miles. But up until then, yeah, it was just super easy, just level two charging everywhere. But then the coming from like Quebec to New Brunswick to Nova Scotia, it was a little trickier. Like, I've definitely been a little spoiled by Tesla in that just the, like, it was so funny just in terms of like, I have like now like a full home screen of like different charging apps, where it's like there's so many different services, and I guess unsurprisingly, like, some of the gas station ones were just brutally bad. Like, you'd get there, my favorite one was a Petro-Can, which is like Petro-Canada. They're like a gas station. You get to the charger and it conveniently just has like, you can tap your credit card to pay, which is nice. You don't need an app.
Yeah,
I do that and it's like, sorry, that's out of order, you can't do that. And I was like, whatever, okay, that's fine. It's like, please use the app. And I'm like, the app? And I was like, oh yeah, I have the app. And it's like, you open the app and it says, this app has been discontinued, please wait while we build the next version of the app. So I was like,
wow.
Hey, great experience. You discontinued the existing app before even building the new one. Like, you normally, you know, you might, anyway.
Yeah.
So me and this other guy were just sitting there staring at it, like, and one of the chargers managed to work, out of like the eight. And it was a 350 kilowatt charger and it managed to do 30. So it was the one that managed to work was at, you know, like 1/11th of the speed.
That's anyway, rough.
But outside of that, they were mostly great. That was just the one notable one that I was kind of like, you gotta earn your stripes a little and have one bad charging experience. But outside of that, no, it was really great. There's a lot more charging than there used to be. And like, I dragged our province a little bit there, but like, truthfully, like this year, I think they're adding like 12 new all across the province, 180 kilowatt, which isn't 350, but it's still really great. Chargers all across the province, multiple days. So like, the infrastructure just keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
And like, compared to like 2018, when I got the Tesla, it's like night and day different.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And yeah, I mean, and I want to come back to this topic for a second later, but I want to ask you something. But I do, you know, you're an app developer, you're an iOS app developer, and I'm very curious to get your thoughts in general in using these different EV apps, because I have many thoughts and opinions on them as a user. But we'll come back to that, because I want to talk about thus far your experience in owning your Rivian, and then more importantly, like, what does your service situation look like, right? Like, if you have a problem, you don't have a service center in Nova Scotia. I mean, to me, it sounds like Montreal, right, is probably your closest one.
Yeah, that would be the one I would go to. Funnily enough, I'm pretty sure they're building one in New Hampshire, which I think might like be 3 hours closer, so I might have like,
okay,
you know, it'd only be 15 hours instead of 18, which is pretty good. But
that's a lot of hours. Not built.
Yes, but they do have mobile service, and they've, from what I understand, like, I've talked to the previous, like, one of the two people who have them from the US and brought them back up. Like, they did, they come out, like, not super, like, if you book a service ticket, they're not going to be like, I'm on the plane right now, but yeah, it's probably, like, they'll, I would assume, like, within a month or so, because they came out, I think, like, last week and replaced a bunch of, like, the 12-volt batteries for, like, the two Rivians in the province. And so the mobile service is they're pretty committed to that. There's just, when you take delivery, if you're out of province, they make you sign a separate form that's kind of like, mobile service will be available. It just won't be as fast as if you were like right next to a service center. And similarly, with the proper service, they said basically, like, if the vehicle is undrivable due to like a warranty issue, like, you just wake up and it won't move, they'll pay to tow it to the closest service center, which is nice.
Wow.
Yeah. You still have to, you know, bring it back. So like, it would be another situation of like flying out there, coming back, but like not having to pay thousands probably to tow a vehicle, 7,000 pounds, yeah, 15 hours is very nice. So that, I think the combination of those two really made me feel better about the service situation. And also, I'm not really new to it for, because like with the Tesla, when I took delivery, they also had no service centers here. So I was kind of like, it was a very similar situation in that they had a mobile service guy who actually I loved it more than like servicing my previous cars, because I live in an apartment and he would just go, oh, that's your Tesla out front in the parking lot. Like he would just come up with a van while I was working, fix it, and then be on his way. And like never, never had to do anything. Like it was like as easy as getting a pizza delivered. And so I knew mobile service could be great. And I knew that like my EV, my Tesla, like required basically no service like its entire life. So I was like, these aren't vehicles that necessarily need like frequent oil changes and whatnot. So I wasn't too worried about that. So fingers crossed that it still goes as smoothly. The only funny thing with the Tesla where they didn't have a service center here was that I got like a call at like 8:30 in the morning one day and they're like, your Tesla's here. And they just like dropped it off in front of my apartment. And like, it was some like third party, like a transport company. And they just dropped it off and peaced out. And I was like, oh, okay. So not exactly like red carpet, but to their credit, they dropped it off here rather than making me go to Toronto. So it's, you got to pick your poison, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super cool. And, I mean, you said that, that they'll fly, you know, you have to sign a paper, you know, hey, you don't have service. And that happens here in the United States as well, right? If you buy a Rivian in a state that is not, that doesn't have an active service center, right? It's kind of the same situation, right? Like, hey, your nearest service center is X number of hours away, right?
It's not going to be easy.
And no, it's not. But it is really cool that they'll tow it for you, you know, if you're in a situation where, you know, the vehicle doesn't work at all. Because yeah, to your point, that could be thousands of dollars and a nightmare. Yes, you'll still have to figure out a way to get there and back, but you know, baby steps, right? Until the day that they can open a service center out there.
And I think I've talked to you, there's some whispers of them kind of doing, I guess more inside baseball was that with Tesla, they didn't have a service center forever. And then rather than going whole hog and doing a service center, they partnered with like a local, like well-known shop and kind of like rented out like a little bay on the side and they service Teslas through there before there was like enough Teslas to really make a service center worthwhile. And funnily enough, now that they have a service center, that kind of area of EV servicing is now vacant. So I think a lot of people are like, Rivian, like you should talk to those people and just kind of become what Tesla was before. That way you don't have to build this like $1 million service center. You can just kind of be in this corner of this existing shop, because that honestly worked really well.
And I'm
just gonna move her one more time, sorry.
You're good That could be a huge win for Rivian to be putting you in a position where they can rent out a spot. I know Rivian, you know, has been hesitant about doing stuff like that, working with third party shops and all that. But you know, if they hired EV mechanics that live already in Nova Scotia, right, and can like, you know, be certified and, you know, work out of a bay like you're saying, that will then allow Rivian. Look, in no scenario here does Rivian like the fact that they can't sell vehicles in Nova Scotia, right? For example,
for sure.
I think, you know, in any province in Canada or anywhere, right? Any state that doesn't, you know, vice versa, it all applies. So to them, I'm sure, you know, it's a priority to be able to do that. I do want to make a note that you said earlier that, you know, they'll, if you have an issue, they'll schedule a mobile appointment, which is usually, you know, maybe a month out or so. Honestly, that's better than most service centers in the United States that are currently like 3 months out. So
fair enough.
Honestly, to me, it sounds like you're getting a better experience overall. And I say that jokingly, but also it is unfortunately the truth sometimes. You know,
what can you do?
So it's a different scenario where it's like it's we have a lot of volume in vehicles and a tiny service center to handle that, whereas you guys are a couple of vehicles and in a location that they don't sell. So it's different. I get it. And people are going to comment, oh, it's different, Jose. I get it. Yes, I do. But I couldn't pass up an opportunity to make a joke about Rivian service, because it isn't great in terms of waiting, right? And taking long.
I've heard that, but, and it's, definitely like an area that's a little scary, and I can understand why a lot of people would elect not to kind of go down this brave route. I like to live a little dangerously, I suppose. And the Toronto service center people I talked to are just so phenomenally nice. And so I have a decent amount of confidence. And like, I've hedged my bets a little by like we kept the Tesla, but we just parked it like in a different part of the garage. It's like we'll just store it there, kind of just to have a second vehicle just in case. something does happen to the car and they need to tow it or something, and I just have a second form of transit. Also, because if I was to trade it in, I'd probably get like a bag of Skittles for it right now. But
well, I think that's a good segue. Let's talk a little bit about a couple of things. Number one is, why did you decide it was, and you know, you kind of answered, you didn't really get rid of the Tesla, but let's just, for the sake of the conversation, you are no longer driving your Tesla as a daily driver. Obviously, you had pre-ordered a Rivian way before 2025 happened. So clearly you were interested in a Rivian long before. But what was really your reasoning for wanting to get yourself into a Rivian? And then how do you feel about that today? Do you think it was the right decision to make in 2025?
Very well worded. I would say I really loved the look of Rivians. They just looked like such a cool, capable vehicle. And I also really liked the idea of supporting, like, not that I had any issue with Tesla at the time, but just it's nice to think of more than one company succeeding here. So I really liked that idea. I'm not going to lie, in kind of a vain way, Teslas have become like as common as Corollas here, and having something a little more
same here. I jokingly say that the Model 3 or even the Model Y now is like the Toyota Corolla, right? The EV version of the Toyota Corolla.
Oh, it's so funny. Like, I remember getting it in 2018, the Model 3, that is, and people being like honking at me at the stoplight and like gesturing me to roll my window down and be like, what the heck even is that? And they're like, Tesla, who makes that, Honda? And I'm like, no, Tesla's the company. Anyway, but now it's just like, oh my God, you see them everywhere. Nothing wrong with that, but I was like, it would be nice to have something a little more exciting. And for me as well, one thing that drove me crazy with the Tesla, and I will say I legitimately really liked the Tesla, was we have not the most stable power grid in Nova Scotia. And there's been like a few times over the years where we've lost power for like a day or two. And it really sucks. Like, it's like the building has secondary, I'm in an apartment and it has secondary heat. So we're not, you know, I don't want to say like we're as bad off as many people are in a power outage where they're like literally freezing or whatever. But it's highly inconvenient, I'll say. And there is like an almost perverse comedy in you having this car that is like the equivalent of 5 power walls sitting there, unable to extract any juice from it because they have no like AC outlets. Like, if we wanted to make coffee or if we wanted to charge up like a battery for the router, you literally have this like comically large battery sitting there with zero way to get any energy out of it. And the fact Rivian had these actual AC outlets in the vehicle was like a big, like, I was very much like, the next vehicle I get, if it doesn't have any way to get energy out other than this dinky 12-volt port, I'm not going to buy it. I want something with the proper output. So that was a big part of it for me too. And then to be a full-on hipster, I think even in 2023 or even earlier, there were signs Elon was going off the deep end a little bit, and it was becoming less and less of a fun vehicle to own conversationally. Just in terms of like I said, in 2018, people would be like, oh my God, that's so cool. Like, yeah, electric, like that's such a cool brand. I love what Elon's doing. He's like Tony Stark. And then like you could literally just see it going over the years into like, did you hear what Elon said? Like, do you like that? Like, and it just like every conversation about the car became like an Elon conversation rather than a Tesla conversation. And that became like very unfun. Even though I still like legitimately loved the car, it was like, I know everyone wants to be like separate the art from the artist or whatever, but it's like when the artist is like screaming on that, TV all day, every day, like it's very hard to make that separation. And even if I can, like the people I talk to don't. And I think I posted on Twitter, but I was at a party one summer and this past summer and a guy came up to me and was like talking about the car. And I think I said something like sarcastic about Elon, and he was like, oh wow, I just assumed you were a really big Elon guy. And I was like, oh God. So there's a subset of people who just see people with Teslas and are like, they must really love what Elon stands for.
Right.
And that was kind of like the final nail in the coffin for me, where I was like, I love the car. I don't love this. And that kind of made me want to start moving away.
I think that's, you know, to your point, I see, you know, I live here in Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida is a, I hate to get political, but I'm going to say it. It's a very blue area of Florida, right? It's like a blue bubble in a red sea of Florida.
Fair enough.
And so, you know, I can at least say with confidence that I have seen many Tesla vehicles with decals and stickers and all that to say, right? Like, you know, bought this before Elon went crazy.
Right.
Anti-Elon club. Right. Whatever. Irrelevant what my opinion is. It's not relevant to, I'm just stating facts. And so I can see that being the case. And I have many friends who own Tesla vehicles who don't like what Elon is doing. And financially for them, it doesn't make sense to just go up and sell their vehicle and buy a $100,000 Rivian or whatever else, right?
No,
that's just
bonkers.
Not logical. You know, so like not everybody has the opportunity to do that. If you do, great for you, like 10 out of 10, but like not everybody has the opportunity. So I totally get it. Plus, separating the artist from the art, Tesla makes really darn good vehicles. Like, 100%. Let's not lie. So like they make really solid, good vehicles. And the fact that the Model 3 and even the Model Y can be as affordable as they are today. You know, I remember in 2020 when I got the Model Y, we had a first generation Model Y, long range. I paid, you know, $57,000, right? That's crazy to think today in 2025 that I paid that much for a Tesla. Now, we traded that into Rivian when I got my first generation R1T and made $55,000 back on it because it was that weird time when cars were worth more. So that worked out in our favor. You know, I put 30,000 miles on that Tesla and then sold it for like practically the same I bought it for. So it was great. That doesn't happen anymore. And God knows if it will happen ever again. But that is where, like, you know, it was a unique situation. That is not what's happening today. That's not the case. So, you know, let's be clear on that. But yeah, I always am curious because, you know, I've had pretty much everybody I've talked to that's been on my podcast here right? Who has a Rivian, a good majority of them had a Tesla prior. And most of them probably got rid of their Tesla, not because of anything that had to do with Elon, but just because they wanted an EV truck or an EV SUV. Maybe they don't like the way the Model X or the Cybertruck looks, so they want an R1T or R1S. That's fine.
There's some people who don't like how the Cybertruck looks?
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Such a beautiful
vehicle. Have you seen any up there?
Yeah, the first one I saw was somebody posted a picture of it on Reddit, like a sighting of it with the middle finger, which is about how you can see how they're because it's honestly funny. Like you mentioned, like there's a lot of animosity toward Tesla in the U.S. and it's like, funnily enough, I think it's even like higher in Canada just because small dip into politics, like with Trump saying all the stuff about like annexing Canada, there's a lot of like, whoa, what the hell, like kind of stuff about that. And then to have this guy kind of like hitch his horse to him, there's almost like a tacit kind of
there is, yeah.
Yeah, there's an agreement there almost that people don't like a lot. And it's like the Cybertrucks are like hated here. Like you would not make it 5 minutes without getting like the middle finger 700 times here. Whereas I think like in certain parts of the States, people would, you know, be a little more positive toward it perhaps. But it's like, it's rough up here to own a Tesla, especially a new one.
Yeah. And I mean, between you and I, maybe we agree or maybe we disagree on this. I don't think that being angry at what type of vehicle somebody drives is going to solve anything, right?
Like, oh God, no.
Me giving a middle finger to you because you drive a Cybertruck or any sort of Tesla is not solving anything. We're just making people angry. It doesn't help humanity. Like, it's just
100%.
If you want to not like vehicle, fine. Like, that's fine. Like, but the level that people go to and putting themselves in danger and graffitiing vehicles 100%. And doing all this stuff and like lighting superchargers on fire. You're not hurting Elon by doing that. You're hurting the people who drive, the EV owners, us.
I don't agree. Yeah. Especially the people who have like owned it like potentially for years. Like I feel like you said, like who, you know, what are they supposed to do? Sell their like very depreciated car for a brand new one when, you know, groceries are at an all-time high. Like that's wildly unrealistic. I will say if somebody gets a dick drawn on their Cybertruck, I'm not going to cry for it. I wouldn't do it personally, but I don't think I'd weep for them necessarily, but
I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there.
That's a hot take.
Like, it's not, I'm not doing it.
No. You're not doing exactly. It.
But unfortunately, there are people like that. I mean, there are a lot of Cybertrucks here in Central Florida too, and I think that in Florida in general, I think is probably one of the higher volume Cybertruck states, because everyone in Miami wants to drive one. So because how do it's you, like the Range Rover.
Do you visually how do you like them?
So here's the thing, right? Like when they first
don't hold,
when it was
don't
first,
pull punches.
No. I mean, I'll be frank. I'll be transparent. I mean, I'm I'll get people who will say, oh, you hate Tesla, blah, blah. I don't hate Tesla.
No, I haven't got that
impression.
I'm saying I genuinely haven't got the impression that you hate Tesla.
I know, but there are people, like, if I post something that goes, like, if it's anti-Tesla in any way, shape, or form, like, oh, Rivian is giving you $3,000 if you traded a Tesla. Oh my God, Jose is anti-Tesla and everything he stands for. That's not the point. I'm just telling you information. Yeah. So anyways, when the Cybertruck got first unveiled, right, by Elon, I loved it. I thought it was polarizing and cool and unique, and I put a down payment on it, right? It was $100. It wasn't crazy amount of money, but I put it down. And my wife, girlfriend at the time, was like, you're not getting one of those. Like, that is ugly as heck. And, like, that could, it's going to lead to a divorce. And I'm like, well, that's.
What if that's happened?
But if it has happened, please let me know so we can get you on the show. Then Rivian came out first, right? And so I ended up going with Rivian. My wife liked the Rivian way more. I liked it way more. I ended up canceling the Cybertruck reservation. And honestly, to be completely honest, with the result of what came out versus what was announced, I'm glad I went the route I did. That's because the end result of what the Cybertruck was originally, you know, stated to be versus what it actually is different in so many ways that it doesn't make me excited. I've driven a Cybertruck. I've gotten a chance to play with it. Steer-by-wire is super great. Like, it's really cool. The UI is fantastic because Tesla builds great software. That's
home backup where it stuff. Ends. I want that so bad.
Yeah, isn't that cool, right?
Yeah.
But that's kind of where it ends. If you like there should be an EV out there for everybody, and I'm glad there is. Right. And if Cybertruck is your thing, great. As we can see, based on information that you and I are not making up here, it's struggling to sell, right? They said they had 2 million pre-orders, and I'm not seeing 2 million Cybertrucks on the road. So clearly, you know, there's definitely levels of obviously taking politics out of the equation, polarizing vehicle, you know, not practical, it costs a lot of money. Like, you know, there's a lot of variance to why. And then now you've got this new, dual motor or rear wheel drive Cybertruck. I forget what it is, but like it's a cheaper variant, and like they get rid of the plugs in the bed and they got rid of storage, and it's like,
no,
like that does, like you got rid of the good stuff, like
how
that can't cost that much, right? It can't cost that much money to keep some plugs in the bed or keep storage that's already there, right? Like the storage exists, it's not, the storage isn't going away, it's just now sealed off.
Wait, so what's
very interesting. Like under the bed in the back, there was like a storage that you can open
like
up
a
in the bed.
Trunk kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's like gone, right? Like it's just
it's just like
not
plywood
there.
You're down.
It's weird, right?
I hadn't heard that.
You know, so it's kind of an odd decision, and also it's still expensive, right? Like it's not, it's still, you know, I forget how much it costs, but like it's still a lot of money for what it is. And it's like it needed to be about $10,000 cheaper for people to even consider it, because I don't see a lot of, it's trying to be like a work truck variant of a truck, but I don't see a lot of people rushing out to buy a Cybertruck work truck, because there's a lot of things in the Cybertruck that just aren't logical or make sense. And people can argue this with me if they like, but that you know, it's just not practical for them. Whereas an F-150 Lightning is, or a Silverado is, and I would even say the Rivian is not really a practical work truck either. Small bed, right? All that, like it's not.
Give
ideal.
Me the 30-second version of why you think that. I haven't looked into this area a lot, but I'm curious
as to what
makes one work truck more work friendly than the other. As someone who works at a keyboard all day.
Yeah, well, I mean, you and I both, right?
Very qualified to talk about this.
We are so qualified to talk about work trucks and work sites. Take it for example, a Silverado EV work truck edition, right? It's pretty cheap, right? It's affordable. Has a big ass battery, right? So you can drive it around town, anywhere you need to go for a long period of time. It has onboard plugs, right? Front trunk and in bed. You get that mid gate that you can bring down. So now you have a full size bed that extends even further, right? So now you have all this space to put in there, right?
Right.
And plenty of storage space. Could Rivian make a R1T version that could be like a work truck that's cheaper? They could. I don't think their resources necessarily should be going towards that. I think that there's already a market in that where, like, you have the F-150 Lightning, like the base model, you have the Silverado EV truck, and there's going to be more that come out, right? Maybe Scout will do something like that. Who knows? That's kind of like my thought. Now, I could be completely wrong about this, and maybe these are not things that people care about, but I'm just trying to think of, like, when I see work trucks on the road, you know, I'm trying to think of, like, what are they doing, right? And I see them on the side of the road, or they're on a construction site plugged in, whatever they're doing. So that's kind of
That Silverado EV's battery is like, it's over like 200 kilowatt hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like having like a quarter megawatt hour.
And it charges at 350 kilowatts. So like if you plug that in Nova Scotia, it'd probably blow up the power grid or something.
Yeah, you'd have to call ahead of time at least. Give them a week to prepare.
Let's diverge a little bit. I want to go back to something you talked about earlier, which was the charging apps. You've used them. I've used them. Right? There's plenty of them. And we live in an unfortunate society here in the U.S. at least, where, and in Canada probably, where we are stuck with, you know, an app for everything, right? A different app for every freaking network, because that's just how it is. And everybody thinks they can do it well. And you're an iOS developer. You've built plenty of apps. And what are your thoughts on the way that these apps are designed and are designed? Like, how do they, like, in terms of how they work and they look and the feel and all that? Do you agree with the mentality of needing an app to charge, or is that just dumb and you should be able to tap to pay and go on with your day?
Honestly, like the tap to pay ones that I've used have been incredible, and there's nothing about them that I've been like, I wish there was an app, like it would have done feature X 10 times better. Like sometimes having like the live activity is really cool. But like you can just do that through the Rivian app itself now. So there's like, I would honestly just say do tap to pay everywhere. If anything, I'd say like in mobile development, like a big thing is like minimizing the amount of taps for common actions. And yeah. I guess the analog here would be, how do you get somebody vehicle charging with as little interaction as possible, and the obvious answer is there is to do what like Rivian does with the Adventure Network or Tesla does with the superchargers, is you plug it in and
call it a day.
Bob's your uncle. And Rivian thankfully has that with Tesla, and I think I saw they have it with like ChargePoint too in some capacity. But they, I like, in a perfect world, I would love to see that with like literally every network. That being said, like with all the stuff with Apple and Google, and the monopoly, you know, antitrust stuff, where it's like, I can kind of see why, like, if you're rolling out a massive network, you wouldn't necessarily want to give Tesla or Rivian all this, because, you know, who knows, they get wildly popular and then 2 years later, they're like, hey, if you want to keep this arrangement going, I want 50% of every, you know, dollar you make. So it's like, I can see why they'd want to retain some level of control. That being said, I would just say with like these apps, like, yeah, minimize the amount of interaction you need to get the vehicle charging. Like sometimes when they're like, even like payment wise, like that's the big interaction step I find with a lot of these when you're signing up the first time. Just having an option to use Apple Pay is like super nice, because you can just, or Google Pay or whatever is going on over there is super handy, because you can just, you don't have to go like, oh, my credit card number, my CVV is da 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 da, and like fill out like a little form before you can start charging. That's really nice. But honestly, I would just say do tap to pay. Like it's worked at convenience stores for, you know, forever. It works well. We don't need to do an app for everything.
Don't need an app for everything. And I mean, there's an app for that, right? Remember those commercials?
We went too far. Would worry, like, if you were in an area where, like, heaven forbid there wasn't service and there was a charger, like
it happens. Like, think about this happened, actually not me, but I was watching, you know, Kyle Connor from Out of Spectrum.
Yeah,
he was in China and was at but still, this could apply here. And he was at a parking garage, right? And there was no cellular service, and he had to leave the garage to plug to like connect, right? And so like, because maybe there wasn't Wi-Fi. I mean, who knows, right? There's a million reasons why, and like that sucks. Like you shouldn't. Yeah. I've been in a scenario where I'm in a parking garage and there's like chargers and there's no service or whatever, and like I just want to plug in and now I have to connect this app and I don't have service. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of awful, right? Like that. No, let me just tap and move on with my day. Because even if you don't have service, at least with tap to pay, like it will authorize and charge you later, right? Like
They have some mechanism. I don't know if they have a special antenna that goes through the roof of the parking garage or something, but it's much better than what we have access to. I will say though, like it's sometimes it sucks, but it's still like, man, pumping gas sometimes really sucks too. So it's not like, you know, the alternative is all candy and roses. Like,
no.
So many times being like, maybe I'm just stupid, but like going into them and them standing along line and then being like, okay, which station were you? And you're looking, you're like, shit, I don't know. I think 13. And then they're like, okay. Like that's not always the greatest experience either. So it's not necessarily solved for anyone, I guess, is one way to put it.
No. And I think the proper solution is, listen, if you want to have your own app, fine, cool. But I think that, that EV manufacturers and networks should work together to have this like plug and play, you know, scenario where you plug in just like you do with a Rivian Venture Network or Tesla Supercharger and boom, you're good to go, right? If you have a Volkswagen or a Porsche and you plug into an EA or Electrify Canada network, boom, you start charging, right? Like these type of integrations need to exist more commonly. And I hope that we're going in that direction because you want to have your app because maybe you sell a subscription plan and it's cheaper if you charge through the app. Great, cool. Right, Tesla does that. But like, if I don't want to deal with that, or if I'm in a one-off charging, like let me just plug in, or at least plug in, tap to pay, move on with my day, right? And be reliable. Like you said, the least amount of taps, the better.
Oh, like I think of, just to beat this dead horse some more, like I think of my dad, like I got him his first phone, like his first cellular phone, like 2 years ago. Giving him an EV and being like, you know, drive 7 hours, you'll probably have to download a few apps. Like he would be on the side of the highway, like calling me crying or something, probably. Like it's just, it's not for, like for us young people ready to brave, you know, this brave new world of apps and EVs, like it's easy, but like I think if you want to reach like you know, a wider market, like there's a lot of people who are like, you tell them like you need to download 17 apps and enter 17 forms, like they're gonna be like, I'm just gonna go sell this and get my gas vehicle back where I can just I might have to talk to a few people, but they'll at least help me. So I think there's definitely like a learning curve there that would be good to get rid of.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, Christian, is there anything else in terms of your Rivian or EV things you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up?
I'm trying to think. No, nothing too crazy. Like, I guess, no, vehicle wise, it's been incredible. There's like, it's one of those things where like you, after living so long with Tesla, like you, there's some things that you're like, you come to appreciate when it's gone. Like even like little things like today, or maybe there's a way to do this and you'll be able to tell me, but like, I'm so used to just hitting the button on the charging wand thing to open the charge port and then plug it in. And I don't think there's any way on the Rivian charge wand. So I have to go around for this like little dot and like, kind of give it a little Mr. Miyagi to swipe it up rather than like little stuff like that kind of bugs me a little bit, and the software is a little laggy at times, but overall like it's been phenomenal, and I've loved the vehicle. So it's like I might have like three issues and like 17 things that are like absolutely phenomenal versus the Tesla. So I definitely recommend it if you're on the fence. At least take like a drive.
Yeah, I think butts and seats is always the best thing. And I mean, I tell people, if anybody wants to drive my truck and they're near me, you know, I'll happily give them the virtual keys of, you know, taking a drive and trying it out, because I think that's the best experience, is putting your butt in a seat to try it out. And yeah, I mean, you make valid points. Software lag. Yeah, I posted a video recently about that, and talking just a little bit about how, you know, I hope Rivian can, you know, work on that. And I think they will, from what I've heard. Oh, so that's good.
They seem very committed. It's just opening up the air conditioning and it taking like 2 seconds. I was like,
spoiled. Yeah, absolutely. There are things that Tesla definitely does better. There are things that Rivian does better. It's no different than comparing macOS to Windows.
I have one more complaint I just thought of. So I'm like, one thing that drives me crazy with the Tesla that I was really looking forward to the Rivian is on like the drive to my parents, which is like 2 hours away, it cuts through like the main artery of the province. It's like our big highway. I was like, I use autopilot a fair bit for that because it's dead easy highway driving. But we have a weird thing in Nova Scotia where like the passing lanes, they're like infrequent and they kind of come up, and rather than staying left, like you stay left to pass, and like you're supposed to kind of like veer to the right to stay in like this non-passing. Anyway, it's a little weird. I've never seen it in any other province. And I was kind of like, after, you know, 7 years, Tesla's never got any better there. I don't have full self-driving, but like the basic autopilot's never got better there. And I was like, I'm excited to try this for Rivian. I did the drive on the weekend. It's like 2 hours of driving, the option to enable it never came up once. And I was like, so I was like, I'd love if they had like the on the way like through Toronto and Montreal where it was available, very slick autopilot system, like being able to change lanes so smoothly was super nice. Just incredible system, but just like 2 hours of it not popping up once. I was like, man, like the whole, it only exists on mapped highways or whatever versus Tesla where you could do it. You know, you could build a road and the next day you could drive it with autopilot.
Yeah.
I do miss that. But that, I guess that was really my only other complaint.
Yeah. The good news with that is I actually, episode two of Hangouts I did, with James Philbin, who was the, who's the VP of autonomy at Rivian. And he did talk about how, unmapped, I don't like using that word because it isn't really mapped roads. It's like there's variables that go into play. But like for
explain
the sake
that.
Of, I wish I really knew the answer. All I know is every time I talk to Rivian and say unmapped or mapped roads, pre-mapped roads, they're like, well, no, it's not that. It's, I'm like, what is it? Because it only seems to work in specific roads that are mapped. I mean, like, so anyways, but.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
All that to say is, you know, James made it very clear that later this year we're going to see these roads kind of go away and kind of open up to everything. And from what I understood, the vehicle, especially Gen 2, which is what you and I have, capabilities of being able to do this is there, right? Like they're just taking it very they're cautious about it.
Like the whole ride, but it like drew the lines and all the cars around it like beautifully. And I was
it does a great job. And it's only going to get better and see more things, right? I want to be able to see all the things. And, because we know it's there, it's just not visualizing everything, but it knows that things are there. Like to your point, you know, there's a lot of construction here where I live, and highways are always shifting around, and nothing is more annoying than a highway shifting just a little bit enough that it's like, nope, can't do it anymore. Sorry, can't see the road. I give up. Like, why put your hands up and quit? And it's like, no, come on, it's still there. It's fine.
Yeah,
or like
yourself.
A new lane gets added and it's like that lane is not there. Like the car, it sees cars going in that lane, and the truck's like, I don't know. I don't think there's anything there. I can't. Wow, there's cars.
Are we sure that's a lane?
Yeah. It's like, I'm like, come on. And so like these are the little things are like, you know, I don't know about if you have a lot of toll roads up there, but like we have toll roads and these toll roads sometimes are like, nope, got to give up. Like you'll get to the toll plaza that doesn't exist. It's just a driving road with cameras overhead, a gantry. And it's like, oh, toll road approaching, take control. And then you pass and you're like, okay, we're good now. It's like nothing, like you could have just stayed in your, like everything's fine. Why? Why?
Oh,
you
so it assumes there's a physical toll booth with a person there.
Yeah,
that would do.
And there are some highways here where they have like a veer off to the right where it's a cache, but a lot of those are starting to disappear very quickly, and they're all just becoming bill by plate or if you have a transponder, and so I don't know if that's Rivian's fault. I don't know if it's the, like, I know they use Open Street Maps or whatever, I forget what it's called, Mapbox. So I don't know if it's like just coded in there like that, and so it, like
that was another question
reading.
I had. So is that what does like the routing? Like it's not Google Maps, not, or something presumably.
It's not Google Maps yet, but Rivian has been very has made it clear that Google Map integration is coming, so we'll get Google Maps.
Oh, so man, you are just the bringer of good news.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they launched last year Google Search, so. You know, everything when you search for a location now within navigation, it's all popping up with Google Search. And
nice.
And towards the end of last year, they introduced where you get like reviews and photos, and it gives you like, and using AI, it tells you kind of a description of what the location is, which is really cool. But
not the routing yet.
But not the route itself. And like that's another complaint is you'll probably notice is like traffic is never accurate.
Oh, 100%. It also, like, there was a few routes it gave me where I'm just like, this makes zero sense.
It's like, I want to get here, but you got to go all around.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. This could be for another time, but this all leads to the conversation of, should we have CarPlay, right? Android Auto.
Ooh,
goodness,
spicy
can't help. It is, I mean, I have many mixed feelings about it, but people are always like, well, just give us the option to do that, right? Like, give us so you can use Apple Maps or Google Maps or whatever. And, but anyways, that is for another time. And if you're interested in talking about that, I'd love to have you come on and talk about CarPlay and Android Auto, because that is a whole nother topic. But we are here about an hour mark, and I don't want to bore people to death any more than they already are. Not that you're boring. It's me. I'm boring. I do want to say I just want to plug a couple of things for you. First off, if you are not following Christian, you should check him out. He is on Blue Sky. You're also on Twitter, but I don't think you use that too much anymore. But you're on Blue Sky. And you can search. I don't even know how to. I don't know the proper way of saying these usernames from Blue Sky, but like at selig.bluesky.social.
Yeah, that sounds that sounds right. Yeah.
You know, so you got that. You can follow him there. I'd be remiss not to mention my favorite app that I ever used, which was Apollo for Reddit, which unfortunately was discontinued and shut down in 2023 because Reddit made drastic changes to the way that they charge developers for API pricing, and it just became not feasible for you to do.
A few Rivians per week. In cost.
Yeah, but I still love it and I still miss it. I still have the app on my phone. It doesn't work, but it's still there. Every time I use the normal Reddit app, I cry a little bit. So, for what it's worth.
No comment.
Yeah. And then of course I need to mention your current most recent thing, which you have, is a Pixel Pals widget pet game app, which you started out in the Apollo app for, you know, actually correct, having on there. It's kind of integrated. And then you launched a standalone app, and it's just an adorable, fun little game that lets you have like these virtual Tamagotchi pets, kind of, sort of.
Yeah,
can't can't use that word, but you know what I mean.
yeah. It's like a virtual pets kind of thing on your phone. So it uses like a lot of the cool like widget APIs and live activity APIs to kind of make your phone a little more fun, I guess.
I love it. Well, is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap up?
No. No, just thanks for all the great work you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And you don't have a code, right? They don't have the Rivian referrals up there, so I can't I can't plug that in, unfortunately.
No, the thing said 2025. It's hopefully coming. So I want some crossbars. So if anyone's thinking about getting a Rivian, wait like 8 months, DM me for my code, and then... Yeah, you can wait.
I will not hold my breath on 2025.
Oh no. Well, Jose has enough referrals. They wait for mine.
Did they even give you a code?
No, not to my knowledge.
Oh really? It's not in the app.
To be fair, Tesla only started doing it like a year ago too, so maybe like the Canadian government hates referral programs.
There's probably rules and laws and regulations and things that I am not smart enough to know about. So like I mean, there are certain states here in the U.S. that are not eligible either for Rivian rewards. Like, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think Ohio or Indiana is one of them. And it's like, that's weird. But yeah, like if you live in those states, you are not eligible for rewards. So that really sucks. But I think that's just how things are. Each state, every province has their own laws, I'm sure. So.
That's fair.
Beautiful. Well, Christian, thank you so much for your time today and talking with me about all the fun stuff.
This was an absolute hoot. It's nice not talking programming on a podcast for once. As much as I love that, it's cool talking vehicles for once. I love it.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much for joining, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Rivian Tracker Hangouts. If you like this episode, leave us a comment below if you're watching it on YouTube. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, leave us a review on a podcast app. That goes a long way, and I appreciate you for doing that. Thanks again for tuning in, guys, and we'll see you next week. Have a good one. Bye.